So to sum up, these two great hesychasts, these two great theologians, these two great masters of prayer and great pastors are not afraid to take the ball and run to the heart of the issue and run to where very few actually dare to go because it seems like it's so far away from us. And that is our own divinization, our own deification, our own union with God in accordance with the Gospel of John, chapter 17, what Jesus is praying to the Father that will happen to us. This is what the Nativity is all about. And the key is the fact that God descends into incarnation. The key for us is to realize that in that incarnation, our human nature, he takes on our human nature and unites it with his own, with himself, in his person. In his person, so that we don't become God by nature, but by participation, by humility, by casting off all that is ourself, we and learning to do whatever it takes to make the Christ be born in us, so that we might then say with St. Paul, as a reality, it is not I who live. Just think of that. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The fact that St. Paul can still remember his I at that moment is, I think, quite a remarkable miracle in itself. It is not I who live. You know, I mean, when I think about it, it's me living. I'm the one living. And God's out here. You know, and prayer is trying to get God closer. But I'm really the one living. That's what the Nativity is saying. God has entered into your life. He's entered into you, into your nature in such a way that it will lead to what you were originally created to be. That's why it's the greatest mystery according to St. Maximus and St. Gregory. That's why it is the very scopus, the very purpose of life. Of life. That's why we're here on the earth. That's why we actually exist. We actually exist in the pre-eternal mind of God. We are brought into being in time in order that we might become one with him, and through the incarnation of one of the Holy Trinity, in which our nature and the divine nature are linked in the person of Christ. And that's why we keep that. That's why the Orthodox Church has always fought for the true understanding of the doctrine of the God-man. And why it's the foundation of our Orthodox faith. And this is what the Nativity is about. And this is why, listen, as we get closer to the Nativity, we will hear more and more in the liturgy these wonderful sayings. Remember St. Theoleptus, and remember St. Gregory. Listen to those wonderful sayings. Listen to what we are preaching or what we are praying together, and realize the gift that is being offered to us. It's the foundation of the resurrection, the ascension of our nature with Christ to the right hand of the Father is all rooted right now, and we are contemplating it in the Nativity. And these great saints have helped to lead us to that. Thank you. Wow. I'm pretty close.
You're bucking tradition. Yeah. Okay, so for those of us who are still unsuccessfully attempting not to use the better for what could be,
where do we go with what he said, with this teaching? Okay.
We've arrived.
What? Go ahead. Who said that? Okay. Yes. The third or fourth cookie, or whatever it is, let's use that as an example of, say, what is the cause of a third or fourth cookie? You know, it's the second cookie. But it's not cookies. It's not cookies per se. It is the loss of memory, or the fact of the pleasure, as Saint Theoleptus says in the very beginning, that you know that God descended to become man that I might be raised up, but then he ended up that I might be freed from the bonds of pleasure. And it seemed to me that in some ways that was sort of like a little less lofty than I wanted. You know what I mean? And I wanted him to keep going. But he ended up with the bonds of pleasure. But if you look at it, that's the answer to your question. The bonds of pleasure would be whatever we do that comforts the flesh, that is beyond that, you know, that is beyond what is natural. That the idea of comforting the flesh or eating the extra cookie means that at that moment you have forgotten something. You have forgotten that you are an incarnate being facing God. In fact, in the presence of God. Most of the time that when we sin in that way, it's because we have lost the awareness that we are in the presence of God. And it's being in the presence of God, it's the awareness, the struggle for the awareness. Let's go right back to that. It's the struggle for the awareness of being in the presence of God that will help us. And that will help us to resist, say, resist that part of the fall that is in us, that part of the passibility, the corruptibility, the mortality. You know, the three basic consequences of the fall: passibility, corruptibility, mortality. That's, you know, death is the end result. But it's the passibility and the corruptibility of the flesh that is, that there is a downward trend. You know, essentially that life for us incarnate beings is going downhill or going downstream. Unless we make a conscious decision to turn and go upstream. And the only way you can go upstream is by paddling, by effort, by work, by ascetic practice. You cannot go upstream. You can look upstream. Many of us in the perhaps Orthodox life will turn upstream, but we forget to paddle. and so we say, yes, we're heading in the right direction. I'm going there. I see God at the other end. But we're actually, you know, we're not doing it. There is no, we're condemned to make the effort. Whether we're monastics or not. Lay people, it doesn't matter. We're incarnate beings. That is the I think one of the great truths about the nativity. The nativity is all about the incarnation. And it's all about that what Christ did, what Christ experienced, we have to experience. So that's where all these images and symbols, the cave, the swaddling clothes, the babe, the fact that we have an image of a baby born, if we take that image of a baby born and see that as the possibility of becoming as God placed in your soul, but not rammed at you, just placed there as a babe, helpless, totally. A baby is
helpless. A baby can do nothing for itself. It's just there. It's all the potential of the being, but in a totally helpless state, it needs effort. It needs work. It needs to be housed and protected and guided, and all of that. If you take that babe, a babe in you is the potential of being as God in yourself, the potential that your true nature, the true being, that what you truly are, your true self, is that babe, which, and it's in you, then the recognition of that through the nativity, realizing that really that's as God became man through the Virgin, so he gives us that possibility. And I have God within me as a helpless babe that could easily be killed, cast out by my not caring or not doing anything. So it is a matter of awareness, and it is a matter of realizing that every moment counts, and that you are, the very fact that you are in a body, that you're in this thing, you know, that you are both, that you are alive, you are a being alive on the earth, and you don't know where you're going, and you have some idea where you've been, but that ultimately you're going to God. Ultimately, we're going there. We're all going there, no matter who we are. It's going to happen. But we're so used to it. I mean, we're so, the world makes us fall asleep. It lulls us to sleep. It hypnotizes us with this and that other thing. And a lot of the things that in it are beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful, and that those things are meant to be. But nevertheless, we're hypnotized by that. So that if you seek after that instead of God, you lose. But if you seek God in and through that, not abandon it, not say that it's evil, that cookie is evil, or good cooking is evil, or anything of quality is evil that human beings do. I mean, we're meant to achieve, we're meant to do good. We're meant to bring good into the world and to manifest good by our actions and whatever it might be. Art. I mean, we're all meant to be artists at heart. But the ultimate art is the bearing of Christ in our soul. That's the ultimate art.
My problem is, when I look at that other cookie, number 2, number 3, 4 are just natural probably.
Yeah.
My problem is, I tend to rationalize it. It's not so much, you know, and it's all about the balance between need and want.
Yeah.
Do I really need this cookie? Am I really hungry? No, but I want it because, after all, if I have a little bit more, I'm not going to feel so hungry for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I find that it's the forgetfulness of not really is my biggest problem.
Yes.
And then, of course, at my age, I'm forgetful anyway. So it's like, you know, more rationalization comes in.
Well, this is where self-knowledge and the practice of your own interior life becomes so important. The heart of our life is interior. And so it's knowing what you do. It's knowing that you do what you do. It is part of the problem. So you have a certain knowledge. You know you're going to do this, okay? But I'm sure that's universal. The rationalizing of it away, and it gets easier and easier. Or sometimes, you know, you can. I know the way I've done it is I know it's, you know, I said it's not going to happen, and then.
Right.
And then I look over here and go like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sort of hiding it from myself, but I'm doing it. You know, that kind of thing. But all you're right. It's the three, St. Mark the Ascetic's three great giants. You know, ignorance and forgetfulness and laziness, and forgetfulness is so key.
Say that again, please.
Which the three giants of ignorance, forgetfulness, and laziness. Sometimes ignorance, forgetfulness, and tyranny. He calls those the three noetic giants that prevent us from achieving what God intends for us. Yes.
This is just my reflection on the incarnation, like you said. I think the incarnation is about a relationship, a relation that God wants to give to us because He Himself is relational. That he Himself does not have a relationship with Him, but with two other persons who are co-equal. And I think when this happens to us, that He's opened up this bridge, I think it leads to a life of constant gratitude as to what has happened, especially to all the relations that we have with one another. And I think this is the life, I just remember Father Smemen saying in his book, it's the life that Adam had of constant gratitude, but he decides to give it up. So God brings us back to this life of thanksgiving. And of course, the ultimate for that would be the Eucharist. And I think as we give constant gratitude because of this incarnation that begins to touch us in a deep way, it leads to incredible humility and willingness to share whatever we do have, because in that sharing, the way God shares, there's incredible joy. And to me, that's what it is. It's a life of constant thankfulness for what has happened. It's constantly changing us as we think about and experience the reality that has happened. And of course, that happened today, Sunday, this morning, Divine Liturgy.
Yes.
But just seeing that and experiencing that, then we begin to say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. Gratitude literally changes your life.
Yeah.
Changes your whole mode of energy.
OM for that goal.